This week's mailbag comes to us from Helen. Hi, Lisa. As I watched your Facebook post yesterday about the glue on the boxes, I felt compelled to write to say thank you to you. I discovered your podcast in early 2018. I have always been fairly organized, but have saved paperwork over many years and have lots of boxes full of who knew what. Listening to your podcast combined with a trip back to the UK spurred me into action. As I looked at my father's house with every drawer stuffed with photos and papers, I realized I had so many boxes I should be dealing with. 2018 was spent joining All Access and working through the paperwork and the 100-day program. Although I still have more work to do on the binders, all the boxes are gone and my house is mainly organized. Yes, I know I am in the downsizing and legacy phase. On December 10th, 2018, my husband and I woke up to the news that our 28-year-old son had died in bed by his wife's side. We now know that he had a pulmonary embolism caused by a work injury to his ankle. As I sought to comfort my daughter, husband, and daughter-in-law through that terrible time of grief, I know your programs and podcasts help me keep some semblance of normalcy and function. As I grieved myself, I also knew exactly where all my birthday cards and Mother's Day cards from him were, and where his childhood art was, etc. This brought me great comfort, and although I have yet to look at those things as it's too painful, I know when I am ready, where they are. As a family, we can move into 2020, having been through the terrible year of firsts, but we are all still here coping as we can. As a woman of deep faith, I know where my son is, but that does not mean we don't miss him every day. As a friend described to me, we are a tree with a limb lopped off, still precious and growing, but not in its original beautiful form. Last year I did some of the 100 days, but to be honest, my heart was not really in it. I have started this fifth round of the 100 days with renewed hope and purpose. So I just wanted to say thanks for all you share and plan for us. I know there are others like me who want to say thank you for the impact you have had on our lives for the better. I am not concerned about some dodgy glue, and when my boxes need replacing, I will order new ones without concern. But I do appreciate your honesty about the issues you are facing. So be encouraged. We can all see your heart to provide good content and products for all of us. I am sure there are many others who feel the same. Thank you. Do you have an organized 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I am super excited to have Jen DeKell on the podcast. Some of you may have met Jen about a year and a half ago when we had our first national convention, which we called RISE. It's now called Embrace. Jen coordinated all of that for me, made all of the spreadsheets, taught me all of the things. If you went to our trade shows that we had in 2018, I think it was.
Yeah, 2018.
Jen coordinated all of those. We were in Texas. We were in Ohio. You just helped me so much in learning all things live events. And Jen lives in Central Florida, about an hour outside of Orlando. And she has grown a lot in the last couple of years as well. And we just wanted to have a conversation together on air and cover all the things that have happened in the last year that Jen's been a part of in Organized 365 and in her own business. She's left corporate America and started her own full-time professional organizing business. So Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you very much. Again, I am Jen with Seasonal Navigation Organizing. I am super thankful that you invited me to be on the podcast. It's been a pleasure to work with you on all your events, well, that I worked on previously, and also be part of the Certified Organizer Program, as well as All Paper. I mean, it's been a whirlwind since you started. I mean,
yeah.
I came along before there was a Sunday basket. Like, we're using our old baskets.
An OG. You're an OG, right? Did I use that right? I'm like a Gen Xer trying to use millennial terms. I shouldn't do it at all. There are all these things that millennials say, like, I'm here for it. And I'm like, I want to say that. is just not genuine. You're my age. It's like, she's trying too hard. She's trying to be a millennial. She's not one.
Well, we just look like old ladies trying it. That's what it really boils down
to. I don't know why my dad would do that. And he'd be like, don't tell me I don't know that person. Be like, whoever is like really cool on top 40. I'm like, you know who that is? Oh yeah, I know. Why do you think I don't know who it is? You know, I'm like, no, I am that person now.
Nice.
Yeah. So Jen, how did you originally, do you remember how you originally found Organize 365?
Yes, I do. I was researching on how to start my business and I hadn't, there's not a lot of organizers out there. So I was searching anything and everything for organizers. And then you look through just podcasts, books, all sorts of things. So I found the podcast and that is how I originally, I think it was the POTT one, Professional Organizers Think Tank one. Mm-hmm. And then it introduced me to the Sunday Basket and Organize 365. So I listened to those and I felt it was a really good complement to what I was doing or what I was going to start in my organizing business. So that's kind of how I found it. And it was really cool to be able to learn from someone else who'd already been doing it. It's also one of the reasons that having our Sunday Basket sisters is so important, that you could identify with what you're going to come across and what you're doing and the struggles that happen when you're an organizer. And not that everything's a struggle, just it was really cool to have someone to identify with. And that's kind of how I found it and what I started to look for in helping me grow my business and honestly identifying what I wanted to do in my business. So we're not all the same. Even though a lot of us are professional organizers, we don't all do the same thing. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't all cater to the same niche. And really being able to question what that meant to me.
Yeah.
It really helped when I listened to the podcast and, you know, heard what you did with your clients. And then I've also looked at other organizers too and what they did. And I mean, there are some similarities, but for the most part, like I work with a lot of people with grief. And that's not an area that a lot of people even want to go into because it is, it's very emotional, but it is also very, it can be very emotional, but it can also be very rewarding. So it kind of, it was really cool to see all the differences and then how we could come together and help each other grow as business women.
Yeah. So cool. Okay. So context for some of you who have no idea what we're talking about and you're just an Organize 365 podcast listener. When I started my business in 2012, within 3 months, I learned I was a professional organizer. I had been organizing people and being paid for it for years. I didn't know it was a profession. I had no idea. Once I learned that's what I was like, game on. I'm a professional organizer. And I started a Facebook group called the Professional Organizers Think Tank, spelled wrong. Google it though. It'll still come up. It's a Facebook group. There are over 10,000 people in it. If it's spelled wrong, that's definitely mine. 10,000 people in there. And it was really, at that time when I created that in 2012, there was no free online resource for professional organizers. Everything was paid. It was a pay-to-play model. And so I started a free one and I became a professional organizer and I grew my business. And I grew my professional organization business along with my Organize 365 brand. And then in 2015, I started the Organize 365 podcast. And 4 months later, started the Professional Organizers Think Tank podcast. And that podcast has about 20 episodes, I think, around 20-ish episodes. And those podcast episodes were answers to the questions people were asking inside of that free Facebook group. Do I need to be an LLC? How do I get a contract? What do I wear? What do I do if we break something? You know, like what do you do if you're growing a professional organization business? And I thought, well, I like to talk. Clearly, I can't spell. So I'll record these podcast episodes and then people who are thinking about becoming professional organizers can listen to them all and be like, yep, that's me. I want to sign up for that. Or no, that is not me. I'm glad I listened to the podcast before I invested any money. But I would have paid any amount of money to get an audible version of someone else who had built a professional organization business and the steps they took. So the free podcast is still up. If you go to organize365.com and click on the podcast link, you can get it right there. It's in all of your podcast players, just like Organize 365 is. And then if that makes sense to you, we've now made it so you can sign up for a course that helps you create your professional organizing business. and or you can join our certification program, which will be open February 5th to the 10th, I believe, of 2020. And then we're closing it for quite a bit because I'm going to be in the book tour frame of mind. So yeah. And Jen is clapping, but you can't see because this is not an audio podcast. All right. So Jen, tell us about your professional organization journey. So when you found the podcast, were you still just considering to be a professional organizer? Had you already started? What did that journey look like for you?
Interestingly enough, it's kind of similar where I'd been organizing for people. I'd been doing it in business. It'd been a different title in corporate America. I've ran warehouses and trade shows and events and built programs that all required a high level of organization because of the amount of people using products. So around 2008 is when I knew that that's what I wanted to do. But at that time, I was running multiple warehouses and teams in corporate America, and it just, the timing wasn't right, the money wasn't there. And in 2017, when I started to, I was like, the timing is good now for me to do this. I had I left the industry I'd been previously in. I was still doing operations stuff. And I was like, now is the time. I finally got the in your heart, make it happen. So one Christmas, I spent the whole Christmas developing my LLC and getting insurance and listening to podcasts and doing all these things to start my business. So as of the January 1st of 2017, Seasonal Navigation was birthed. Hence my birthday month is also the birthday month of my business. And
so you're 3 years old?
I'm 3 years old now.
Okay. Yes, oh, you're 3 years old.
And it's been a whirlwind of, you know,
tell people, okay, what was year one like? Year two, year three. Were you full-time professional organizing year one, January 1st, 2017?
No. Year one, I was working a full-time job and also as director of operations at a construction company. And I did this on the side. So I basically worked all day, every day, weekends, and tried to live and incorporate some life in between is what it really boiled down to. So I'm a big systems and process person. So during that time, I developed good systems and got a good CRM and started to network, which I was terrified, absolutely terrified to network. Sales has not been my strong suit, but
oh my gosh, I would have never said that about you or thought that about you. Like, so, I just think you're like a natural networking person.
I had to start putting myself out there more, and it was scary and it was terrifying. And I'm not going to lie, I faked it till I made it. And I had little pep talks in the car before I would go into places, and you could do this, you know, you have your own business, like all these different things you would tell yourself. Cause in the beginning, it's kind of safe when you start it and you have another job to go to. You don't have to push yourself as hard. But my goal was always to work for myself. So I pushed myself differently. And that meant I had to push myself into very uncomfortable places all the time if I wanted to reach my goals. And that networking was part of it.
So did I launch the certification program in 2017? I think I did, because you were one of the first. You weren't in the very, very first round, but I think you were in like the second.
I think I was in the second. You had
that
your first
summer
round.
One.
I think you did it in March-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were only three in there, Monique and Holly and Emily. And then I think you were that summer, weren't you?
It was either summer or that fall. I forget.
Okay. Yeah. One of those two.
And that's when I was like, this is a good compliment to what I do. And people have lots of paper, whether they want to say they do or say they don't. I'm like, when you have people, boxes and boxes of paper that come to your events or show you pictures when you're doing consultations, I'm like, oh, you have no paper. None at all.
Yes. We've seen worse.
I'm like, you just put it in a closet. So you don't have it because you don't see it.
Yes.
And that was, it just made sense for us, for me to partner with Organize 365 and have the Sunday basket and teach the classes. And it's also another avenue to help people on a grander scale. Mm-hmm. You know, once people get their paperwork taken care of, then they're more inclined to do other projects and to start other things, which is where I tend to excel more, but it everything starts somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. So 2017, you're still working full time. You got certified. You're doing organizing in all of the non-sleeping hours. What about 2018, your second year in business?
So 2018.
The first half of that is when you were working with me to help me with live events.
Yes. So a lot of that, I will say, and this, I probably should never say this out loud. It was safe for me to take what I already did and go help you build your business instead of building my own. But it was also a very good experience because it gave me an opportunity to chat with you more often and be with other ladies who are organizers to kind of glean from them and learn too. So at that time it was what I felt was necessary. It worked out for you. It worked out for me. We both gained knowledge. Yep. So why not? And when it ended, it was kind of like, yeah, the bird's leaving the nest.
Yes.
So it worked out. And it also gave you, I think, a clearer vision on what you wanted to do with your team. And you already knew what you needed to do too. It was just a matter of, you know, getting enough events and you know, because of course, Lisa, you want to do all the things all the time.
No, really? Before we start recording, I'm like, hey, Jen, you want to do this thing next year together? She's like, let me write it down.
But that's just how you're built. Yes. And it was cool to work with you and to work with your team and to get to know things on another level. And then also to feel probably more confident to do more workshops or to put myself out in a different space. Not that I'm not naturally a confident woman, but when you're trying a bunch of new things at one time, it doesn't always feel like the right thing to do. It isn't always a comfortable space to be in, and especially when you're building your business and you're learning all the things that go along with that. And then you just really want to do what you love, which is organize.
Yeah. Okay. So second half of 2018, you were still working full time? Were you
still working full time? Was planning for 2019 to work till the end of 2019 full time and then launch myself off into full time. But that happened a lot sooner. So it was in March, April. One of my bigger clients was like, I want to work with you more, and basically gave me a number and said, this is what it would mean to me if you could help my business, and gave me the big opportunity to work for myself 100% of the time. So working for his business as well as growing my own business. And it was an opportunity I couldn't really refuse. So this year in March, April, I took the big leap of working for myself 100% of the time, working from home 100% of the time. And it's been the funnest and scariest and awesome and grueling. Nothing. It's been the roller coaster, the whole thing.
All right. So let's go through all the things. Okay. So you've been on your own about 9 months. So you had a great client who is going to give you basically a retainer or guaranteed work for a certain amount of time. Do you still work for the same client?
Correct. I do.
You do. Okay, good.
With the intent that as I'm developing certain aspects of their business, that we would have a team or develop a team to work just solely on their stuff.
Oh so, my gosh, Jen, it's so cool.
So along with my organizing clients, and I really thrive on doing a lot of custom work with businesses.
Yeah.
Just did a huge project with a travel agency that has thousands and thousands of brochures. So like the biggest paper organizing project you could do.
I'm flying down there to help you right now.
We got rid of all their filing cabinets.
Oh my gosh.
These new medical shelving so they could see it. We color coded all of it. They could see their inventory. It was amazing, but a big switch. And
yeah,
it's been really, really cool. But adjusting to the work aspect of it has been fantastic. adjusting personally, you do not realize, at least I didn't realize, the impact it would have on me to be all alone all the time in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize the level I needed people. So one of the things I miss the most is I have to schedule my routines and clients based on getting people contact. I know that sounds...
But you also... So your house also is sort of rural, right?
Oh, I mean,
should mention this. It's not like you get in the car and 2 seconds later, you're like at Starbucks with your friends.
No.
Yeah.
It's get in your car a good 40-minute drive before you even see other
people. She's in the middle of nowhere in Florida.
Yes, exactly. Nowhere.
Nowhere.
So that makes a huge difference. But I will say one of the things that... When I transitioned, one of the things I never even thought of was vacation days.
Oh.
Paid vacation days. I'd always been a corporate person who had paid holidays and vacations. And then my first holiday rolls around, what is it, July?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, if I don't work, I don't eat. And I mean, I have savings and stuff, but still that realization that if you don't work.
Yeah. You know what's so great about this conversation is I'm clearly an entrepreneur. I'm unemployable. But I often used to think that people were not having their own businesses because they either, I don't know why I thought they weren't having them. I finally have come to the realization in the last year that a lot of people like being employed. Like there are a lot of things that being employed gives you, like 99% of people not like being employed. They don't always like their job, but they like the security of, okay, I go here. This is what my job is going to be. These are the hours I work. Here's my vacation. Like, yes, they don't have 100% control of their time like I do, but also they don't have 100% responsibility for where's the business coming in? How are the taxes going to be filed? What are the, you know, how much more is it going to cost to have faster internet in this place? And, you know, the toilet's broken over here at the office. It needs to be fixed. Like they don't have any of that either. My dad used to say more risk, more reward, but yes, also more potential of huge failure. Just going to say, and I thrive on that. Like I love growing and employing and making things bigger. And it's very rare. Like to be an entrepreneur is very rare. And what I think is more common than what I'm doing is to be a solopreneur. Mm-hmm. Like, and you are a solopreneur, but I know you have dreams and aspirations of being a team, you know, an employer of a team. And so I'm often thinking about, because I never really was an employee, I'm always thinking about what do my employees need from me, want from me, desire, what benefits can I provide that are unexpected or expected? And how soon can I provide those? Like those are kinds of things that I'm thinking about all the time as a business owner. So I often used to call myself an entrepreneur all the time, but really I think the better definition is solopreneur or business owner. Like a business owner has employees and an office and, you know, expenses, like a second home, but it's an office, those kinds of things. It's a huge mental mindset shift.
It really is. And going from being an employee to working for yourself, I'm like, yes, you have a lot of freedom and you can use that freedom to your benefit or you could use it to your detriment. And you have to create a different level of discipline that you may or may not have had to have. And yes, it is nice to be able to control your time and do things when you want to do things. Your deadlines are different. They're more self-imposed. They're not as driven by someone else's decisions. I mean, obviously, if you have clients, that's driven, you know, when you need to get those things done. But when I need to fix the website, I can get to it anytime I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a goal of getting it done. Everything needs maintenance. So I just use it as an example. But it really can make a difference. And you have to have a different mindset. You have to write your goals differently. Your action plans are different. And you don't think of the things that you really enjoyed, say being employed in corporate America, until you don't have them. Hence the vacation conversation when I was like, oh yeah. We were talking about planning a vacation and I was like, oh, I have to be strategic about the timing of this vacation. It's not just.
And whenever typically, like as a professional organizer, if you're going to keep organizing in people's homes and hire a team, they're not going to be typically full-time employees. They're typically going to be part-time or part-time contractors. So you're probably not going to be paying for vacation days. But Organize 365 now does have paid time off and paid vacation days. And, you know, as the business owner, that's another mental shift. They're like, okay, now I am going to pay these people for days that they are not going to generate income or help, you know, do something instead of Organize 365. Like, these are additional bonus days. That's a, if you get that far, that's another mental mindset shift. Not only are you not being paid when you don't work, but now you're going to pay people when they purposely don't work. And you're going to be excited about it.
And I, like you, would like to have a team and grow. I mean, not in the same aspect, but my goal is to have an office mm-hmm. and a team that executes these things and, you know, helps people live better and have a good impact on their lives and improve it. And that isn't, I knew it wasn't going to just be me. And mm-hmm. well, I should say, I know it's not just going to be me. I'm not going to be able to do it by myself mm-hmm. to make the type of impact I would like to as a businesswoman. So,
and I think it's not only just the impact you want to make as a business owner, a businesswoman in your business, but it's more fun doing it together. Like, it is more fun going to a big job with someone else. And I will tell you what, our team always worked better as a team than on our own. And so, like, if you have two people in a basement and it's hot and you're sweaty, you're like, all right, one more bag. I can't have Carol outwork me again. So I'll grab another bag and go up there. But if it's just you and Carol wasn't there, I'd be like, oh, just pile those over by the bottom. You know, you move a little bit slower. But if there are more people in the room, like, the energy level is higher. You move faster. It's more fun. It's more collaborative.
And you can encourage each other when it is a rough job. So you're in that sweaty basement and you're sweating like nobody's business. And you're like, oh, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
You can encourage each other and go, you know what? We got this. It's going to be so great when it's done. And, you know, it is rough now, but can you imagine our client's face when they see this and the heavy weight we're going to help lift off of them by getting this done? That right there, that joy has been the most rewarding. When people, it's like, it's when they're decluttered and they get their papers organized or their room organized and they, that joy you see on their face. And they're like, oh,
yes,
this is what it's like.
Yes.
I can't even really put it into words and I'm not even,
I know it. The best would be like, if you're a teacher and you've seen a child who finally understands how to do whatever you've been teaching them, or you finally got your boss to realize something at work. Similar to that. Yes. But the other thing I would say about a team, like I'm thinking back to when I did physical in-home professional organizing, we all had our own thing. Clearly, mine was always paper, strategy, reorganizing the house to how it's being used versus how it was meant to be organized. Carol's, hands down, was, first of all, the woman works out all the time. She physically could move everything and design. And then Carol was an engineer, not Carol, Chrissy was an engineer. And so she just had, you know, she just had that different brain about how things should be in a space, and she could run circles around us. But when the three of us went into a house, like, we would split up, and the impact we could make the three of us was so much more synergistic than any one of us on our own.
That's like a dream team there. That's awesome.
So awesome. Yeah. I love to make teams. That's what I like to do, is make teams.
I'm going to get there. That's my goal. End of this time next year.
I would say, yes, you will. You definitely will. The other thing about organizing is it's super physical.
Oh, like, yes.
Yeah. So everybody listening who's just organizing their own house, you know how exhausted you are organizing your own house. So as a professional organizer, I recognized really early on that the people I had observed that were in-home professional organizers made it about 5 years and then they stopped. And they might have had a team that went on after them, but they stopped doing the in-home organizing. And I realized, oh, it's so physical that you have about a 5-year window before you're done. And if you add on paper, then you can keep doing the paper because it's not as physical, it's more mental, and you can run the team that's more physical. And I told this to Carol, who started with me in 2012, so that's, you know, 8 years ago. And last summer, so 7.5 years in, she had done her own in-home professional organizing business after I stopped doing it. She goes, I'm out, I quit. She goes, I made it longer than your 5 years, but you're so right. She's like, I am so done. I cannot be in another hot attic or damp garage or sweaty basement again. She's like, I'm done. So there is a lifespan. And if you want your business to last more than 5 years as a in-home professional organizer, you have to build a team just for the physical stamina piece of it.
Oh yeah. And that I can say with the brochure project, that big brochure project I did, I'm not kidding. I probably lifted 7,000 pounds of brochures and I was thankful. I came home and yes, my body hurt and I took Epsom salt baths, but I said to my husband, I am so thankful I've been working out because I never would have been able to handle this job without that. I am strong.
Yes. 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 It is also a free workout program. So you get that benefit as well. So you are a Sunday Basket Workshop certified organizer and all in and retreat trained. I'd like to talk about how you've used those things to grow your business and to grow that community of organizers that you rely on. Can you start with like what you do with Sunday Basket Workshops? Remember, we're in Central Florida, all of you Southern people.
For workshops, I think what the Sunday Basket does is kind of gives us a different level of exposure, because when people meet professional organizers, they don't always understand what you can do for them.
Right.
So by having a physical product like the Sunday Basket or the binders, they can physically see something that's going to make a difference in their life. Mm. And they can go, oh, well, you do closets, you do basements, you do garages too. And it kind of clicks as to what kind of difference you can make. So for me and my business, it was a helper. And I mean, helping people tackle stuff that they pretend isn't there. We all have actionable paper. We all have bills to pay. We all have projects we need to get done. And not everybody has a great system for it. And that really helped me decide that this was going to be a good marketing tool for my business, as well as another way to offer people a way to get organized. Mm-hmm. And the workshops really have helped with that. So I probably do more virtual workshops just based on my location than physical, but eventually when I'm in my space, I will be dedicating space for workshops as well. And I will offer more at that time. So I do physical as well. And then I also do the paper retreats.
Yeah. Like, let's talk about the paper retreats. Okay. Let's talk first about your location of your first paper retreat. Like, I don't even have any paper to organize and I wanted to come.
Well, I found a nice hotel in Daytona that was on a quieter side of the beach. It wasn't on the busier section. And I thought about when you're organizing your paper, it's good to be able to take a 5-10 minute break, get a little sunshine, and then go back in and finish what you're doing. And that's actually what we did. I incorporated those breaks because sometimes people would get overwhelmed with what they were working on. Yes. It would be too emotional or it would just be too much. And I actually remember there was like a little tiki bar outside and I took some of the ladies and I said, you know what? You need 10 minutes. You know, let's go get a soda or drink at the tiki bar and we'll take a sunshine break and we'll do 15 minutes and then we'll go back in. And it worked out perfect. They had their 15 minutes and then they felt rejuvenated to go back in and continue to tackle it because it's a long day.
Yeah.
And they felt so accomplished though. Mm-hmm. All of them had said to me, if you wouldn't have helped me refocus after that first roadblock, I wouldn't have gone back to it. If I would have been home, 2 hours in, I would have been right to the sofa with the Netflix. I never would have accomplished it. And that first day is what, 12 hours?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And not to discourage anyone.
Right.
It really helps to have someone there to cheer you on.
Mm-hmm, right.
And to take your sunshine break with, and to say, hey, okay.
Well. In Ohio, that's called a coffee break by the fire. Just saying, sorry. You know, don't know what to tell you. We have one more paper organizing retreat in Ohio, which is in April. And then you're going to need to go to Florida to see Jen in September, or I'm sure Holly's going to have another one. People are always saying, do one on the West Coast. Holly's in Washington. She's doing one on the West Coast.
Nice.
We've got some paper organizer retreats. If you go to organize365.com/events, the paper organizer retreats, mine and all of the complete retrained certified, we have so many names for it. The all-in paper certified organizer people. listed on there as well. Jen's September paper organizing retreat is there.
Correct. And I'm actually really excited about it. It was very interesting. The dynamic was very different on all the people were kind of different walks of life too. I had businesswomen, I had mothers, and all of them had different projects, but the central focus was they all had a lot of paper and they needed to get through it. They'd been saving it for a while and they wanted to get their binders started. They wanted to get their Sunday baskets built. They wanted to run their business better and they did Friday work boxes. It was the evolution throughout the weekend. You can accomplish so much in that weekend that you don't even think it's possible. But by the time you leave, your 20 boxes have become one, maybe two boxes. And you also have your Sunday basket started and your binder started. Yeah. And you're functioning in it by the time you leave in a weekend. Mm-hmm. Not just, well, I started it last weekend and 7 weeks from now I'll finish it. It was by the time you left, you had stuff you could actively start using.
And I think it's, you know, blocking out your calendar and saying this is the priority for this weekend and then leaving your house and going somewhere so that you can't answer that question. You can't change that load of laundry. You can't fix that problem because you're not there. Sorry, I'm not there. I'll be back, you know, this day. I'll be back this day. And so then you double down on like, okay, well, I'm here and I'm doing the paper, so I guess I might as well do the paper. And you push through what you wouldn't push through at home because you have paid and you've set aside the time, but also because whoever's running that event is going, hey, you look like you're a little overwhelmed. How can I help? Can I get you a coffee? You want to go, you know, maybe why don't you take a break and come back? And so we kind of guide and regulate your overwhelm and your energy level as well.
It does make a difference. I found that in mine, the times we shared meals together, everybody chatting and exchanging ideas, you know, that helped, you know, re-energize people too. And it was really cool to get to know people and what they do and why and what makes a difference for them. And one of the ladies who came to mind, she drove 6 hours.
Oh my gosh.
He drove 6 hours from the panhandle. I was like, okay, well, you are dedicated. And she actually just sent me an email probably a few weeks ago. And she said, I never would have been able to go on this mission trip that I really wanted to if I didn't have that taken care of. And I was like, oh, heart melt right there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm so excited that I was able to assist you in that, you know, getting your other projects done so you could start doing things you really love.
And yeah, not amazing.
Just managing your home.
All right. I want to transition before we end here to the national conference I do called Embrace in the summer. You were part of the first one, which we called Rise at that time. So funny. I did not know Rachel Hollis at all. We both had those Rise conferences the same month. And then as we're getting ready for the second national convention, I was like, oh, I don't know. Rise isn't just kind of gelling with me anymore. And so I Googled and I realized there were like 18 conferences called Rise, including hers. And I was like, oh, maybe we need a new name. So we changed our name to Embrace because I really feel that's what Organize 365 does, is it embraces you where you are all the way through the entire process. Like, you don't need to be changed. You don't need to become someone different. You just need to be embraced as you transition into whatever it is that you're going to do next. Like, that's what we do as a company. So we changed our name to Embrace. That's why there's the change. And we had it last year. We'll be having it again this year, the end of June. Early bird registration ends February 28th, because there's a little bit of a discount if you sign up now. Jen, we talked about what you get from doing a physical retreat by bringing your paper. The transformation is obvious. You go through you home with much less paper, much reduced stress.
Yes.
In all of the events that you have coordinated with me and others, what are some of the common things that you see happen when people take time to leave their day-to-day and go to something like the Embrace Conference? And then also we could talk about specifically our conference is unique, like what's in our conference, but just in general, like when people leave and go to a conference, what do they get from that?
I think for a lot of women, it takes them to another level. Like, you've been thinking of what you want to do and sometimes you don't know how to get there. So there's that type of woman. There's other women who've been doing it, who who just want a little bit more encouragement that they may not be getting at home. And there's really something to be said for community and for being in a room full of women who understand where you're coming from and what you're trying to do, and who encourage you regardless of the stage you're at. And those who haven't started, you're encouraged to start. Those who are in it, you're encouraged to continue to go, to continue to keep doing it. And those of you who have, you know, made it to a point where you're organized, you're starting to explore new areas of your life on what you're going to do besides keeping your home maintained. And whether that be starting a business or, you know, traveling more, you have more opportunity when you
traveling more. Yes.
Yes. But being in a room with other women who are of like mind and really want to help each other grow is absolutely amazing. I have that with our Sunday Basket Sisterhood. We have it with people we meet and we organize with. It's just really, really awesome. And there's another, I cannot think of how to put the word on it, but sometimes you just need a lightning bolt too. And conferences like that can kind of help ignite something in you
that
you don't normally have when you're at home and you're 15 minutes in the Starbucks line and you're like, I have so much stuff to do. But when you get out of your space and you can see it from a different perspective, you can be like, I can prioritize it now. What am I going to do first? And you can get rejuvenated and encouraged and I can't even really put all the words on it.
But yeah, it's so hard to explain. 3 years in, still can't explain what my conference is. Come, it'll be great.
I mean, if you think about girls' trips, what do you do on girls' trips? You talk about life, you get away from it, you relax, you dress comfortably, you do fun things like go out to dinner, maybe you have a cocktail you haven't had.
We have a cocktail party.
Maybe you just sit and have coffee, but you do things that are out of your normal routine. And that helps, one, inspire creativity. So you can think about something else besides what you have to get done in the next hour or day. And that really helps to figure out what you want to do, whether it be get organized or start a business or anything like that. At least that's what
it is. You know, it's not an organizing conference. So we don't teach you anything about organizing at all. It really is a personal development conference for women related to their role in the home. Doesn't matter if you're an entrepreneur, a corporate employee, a stay-at-home mom, a homeschooling mom, a single woman with, you know, who works from home. It doesn't matter. All of those people will be there. And then I walk you through really your past, present, and future. That's not how I normally term it, but your past, present, and future beliefs of what your role as a female in the house that you live in are and what you want them to be. So like, how did you come up with what you think you should be doing today? Should you still be doing that today? And what do you want to change going forward as it relates to you in the physical dwelling that you have and in the phase of life that you're in? I still don't know how to explain it, Jen.
No, I think that's a fantastic explanation of it. It really does, I want to say, get introspective.
It's totally introspective.
What your role is, what you do, what you want to do, what you've taken on that maybe you shouldn't have, and maybe things you didn't realize you were doing that other people could do to help lighten the load.
Bring to light a lot of, I'm able to verbalize a lot of the mental chatter that you have that you don't realize that you have, and then look at it and say, do I want to keep this or not? Is this serving me or not? And I find that so much of our mental chatter and our expectations for ourselves in our home, we think other people have placed on us and they have not. We have placed it on ourselves. And when you can objectively look at that, then you can either accept it or reject it. But now it's your choice. It's not just part of your daily life. And I don't know how to do in a podcast or in any kind of a virtual setting. I have to do it with you in my actual physical classroom right in front of me. I mean, I know what I'm going to say, but as I'm talking and the energy in the room shifts, I change what I'm teaching. Like I'm a teacher, so it always changes as we go. And it's the community. You know, we sit in tables of six or eight, and the people at that table will be your lifelong friends. And I found that, you know, Jen, you do not have children. I have children. A lot of my friends are the parents of the kids that have the same age kids that we have, because I did not work in corporate. So my friends are the ones that were sitting at ballet and sitting at the T-ball thing or sitting where, that's where I got my friends. And now my kids are in college and I'm not in corporate. Where am I going to get friends? So if you're looking for some new friends, you can come get about 5 to 7 right at your table. And they will. You guys will do life together after this. It's amazing. It's where adults get friends.
Oh, I would agree. Definitely. Yeah. And for like me, who's in a rural area, I'm not the only woman who lives in a rural area.
Right.
Who desires community. And it does. And yes, I can leave the house. I get that. But being at a conference though also gives you it's a different environment.
And you already have a commonality. Like you all obviously know me. You're not going to come to Embrace if you've never heard of Lisa before. You have a propensity to want to get more organized and productive. So you have the same passion in that area. And then it's what else do you have in common and how can you encourage and motivate each other going forward?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I've met a lot of women at Rise and Embrace and just throughout the program that on a regular given day, I never would have met these women. Yeah. And it was really cool that we did. We got to connect and we still keep in contact, whether it be through Facebook or, you know, video chats or whatever. It's been really awesome.
And I would say, I work with some different branding specialists and website people, and they're always like, who's your target market? Like, who's your ideal customer? And I have always been this way since I was a little girl. I was able to talk to 80-year-olds and 8-year-olds. I always have been able to talk to generations above and below me. I just talk. But anyway, actually carry on conversations with any generation, any demographic, anywhere in the world. Like, I'm just a people person. Like, put a people in front of me and I will be able to make a conversation. I can make a conversation with anyone. And that is unique to me. And so our target market, like who we serve, is wide. So you will meet people there in their 20s. You will meet people there in their 60s. It is not like this is a conference for all millennials or this is a conference where everyone's going to be a professional organizer. The only commonality, there are commonalities in my target market, and they are these. It is usually a woman who has decided she has had enough and she is going to make a change in her life and she is going to be the change that she wants to see in her life and she's ready to take the next step. That's it. That's it. And then you go from there, which is unusual. Most brands, most conferences you go to will be very homogeneous and they'll be very much like the speaker. Ours is not.
Okay.
You're going to find a lot of different people at our conference, which I think is really awesome and powerful.
Definitely. Diversity is really good because you learn different things from different age groups, from different people, different walks of life. You can learn so much about yourself as well as others, not just... and how you react in those environments. Yeah.
Jen, it has been such a pleasure having you on the podcast. What do you have coming on in 2020? Anything else you want to share before we let you go?
What do I have coming on in 2020?
Yeah.
I have my paper organizing retreat. It's funny that you bring up, I'm actually figuring out narrowing down my target market a little bit more and narrowing that focus.
So anybody in Florida? I mean,
but that's something I have a goal of. And then being in, you know, growing my team and, you know, being in an office by this time next year. I mean, those are high goals and trying to get that taken care of. But, and then, someone's going to have a book tour. And at some point,
who's that?
She might come to Florida.
Oh, we are for sure coming to Florida. You guys should still be filling out my book tour form. Like I print every single one. I'm like, here's the thing. I know all the cities I want to go to, but I have to have somebody there that I can ship stuff to and talk to and help me. So if you're like, I hope she comes and sees me. Well, you better tell me that you want me to come see you so that I know you will help me when I'm there, or at least you'll be at the book signing. So If you go to organize365.com/Lisa, you can find that page on there to fill out that book tour form. Yeah, multiple cities in Florida I would like to go to. But you have to apply, so I know. Jen, you have not filled out your form, have you?
Good. Call me out on live podcast.
I am, because then that way you'll do it. Don't think I haven't read every single form that comes through, and I know. And there are, I will be honest with you, there are some states and cities that will now be on the book tour that weren't going to be before because there have been a lot of applications from those areas.
See, she notices everybody. She reads. So fill out your form.
Okay, I've been planning this book tour for 15 years, so this just happens to be the time in the book, but I've literally been planning this forever. I've already packed my bags since January. I just bought all new organizers. I'm so excited. I cannot wait for the book tour. So, yeah, Jen, I'm coming to see you if you fill out the form.
I'll get right on that.
I can only rib her like this because I have known her so well now. And I'm so proud of you, and I'm so excited to see all of your dreams come true this year as well. Thanks, Jen, for being on the podcast.
Thank you.